Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, God. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight. The title of this message, Sharpen Your Friends. Sharpen Your Friends. How many ever find sometimes it's hard to take constructive criticism from your friends? Anybody? Sometimes it's hard for you? Or them telling you you need to do this or do that, it's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Now, is there anybody here who wants to be honest besides these two? Come on. So all of you are fine with it. So whenever your pastor gets on you, you just take it. Thank you, pastor. I needed that. I deserved it. Is that how it goes? You ever work with somebody who's a know-it-all? I worked with a young man years ago in construction. And he was younger than I was by probably a good 10 years, or not maybe 5 or so, at least 5 years younger than me. These old-timers would try to tell him something, he wouldn't listen. What I was, these old-timers could tell me how to do something quicker and better, I did it. He wouldn't listen to nobody. And it's hard to do that, amen? It's even hard with friends. But in our small group, one of the things that a small group does, it offers people a place to grow. It's a place to grow. And so we grow by each other helping each other. Have you ever tried to use a knife or a pair of scissors and only find that they won't cut right? Makes you want to just throw them, doesn't it? And it's probably frustrating. And the problem is that they need to be sharpened. So I want to read a passage in the Bible today, and it teaches us, this passage teaches us how to be sharpened. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs, folks, is a book about wise sayings and how important it is to be wise. If you're a young Christian and you want to live for the Lord, it's a good book to read, Proverbs. It is written primarily as a way to guide and instruct and influence Solomon's sons and all the people to live fully in the Lord. You will find general sayings of wisdom and truth to live with integrity. You'll find sayings to live with that you can help you live with honesty and morally and in relationships with your spouse. It'll help you to be a better parent to your children. It'll help you to be a better friend and neighbors, your enemies, business associates, and of course, how to help serve the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But listen to this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So these wise sayings begin with us being in relationship with the Lord. So what do we learn about the wise sayings and the principles of how we can be sharpened? You see, we learn what it means to be sharpened. Just as a knife that is not sharp isn't productive, a knife or a pair of scissors that isn't sharp is not very useful, or it's not helpful, or ready to be sharpened as a man is to be ready for life. You see, we have to be ready for life. We have to allow things to make us better, to make us useful, to make us helpful, to make us productive in life, in our society. It reflects the fullness of life, whether it be physical, emotional, social, as well as spiritual. The word kada means to make glad, to join together, sharpened, to grow. So, folks, to be sharpened is to be ready. To be sharpened is to be useful. To be sharpened is to be productive in life and in society. It means to be joined together and grow to meet the challenges in life and even ready for eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. So the principle is clear. Just as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen our influence, someone to prepare, to make them, help make them glad, to be useful, to be productive and growing in every area of life. You see, when we learn the process of sharpening in life, we have to learn what does it take. It takes intention. We have to do help sharpen people and allow people to help sharpen us. We have to intentionally be ready to do that, or be ready to receive. Just as iron has the purpose of sharpening iron. You ever watch somebody with one of them with the file like they use in the kitchens, and they take that knife just the right way and cut it, just, you know, and let it glide along that file. Okay? That iron helps sharpen the iron. We must be intentional, folks, about sharpening one another. It's all about others, is it not? We need to seek those who can sharpen us. We need to be careful what kind of friends we have. Amen? We need to want to hang around people that can make us better. And then we hang around others to try to help them to be better. But we need to seek those that can sharpen us. And we need to intentionally seek those who we can sharpen in life also. So intention also identifies our true purpose. What is our intention in sharpening another person? You see, the intention, according to the scripture, is to help a person become complete and ready in every area of life. Jesus is a good example of that, is he not? When you read in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." In other words, he grew, folks. He was sharpened in wisdom physically, spiritually, and socially. Amen. He improved in those things as he grew. So what a great intention we should have in sharpening others and also being sharpened. If you can't receive something from anybody, you have no business trying to help somebody else. Right? You know, it's like the old saying, you know, when you tease somebody, if you can't take it, don't dish it out. Right? So we have to, you know, want to be a help and a blessing to others, but we need to let others be a blessing to us. The problem is that often we only focus on one area, or we just haphazard in seeking the sharpening process in life. Take in a relationship, for instance. If I have an iron sword and you have an iron sword, it will never be sharpened if it isn't in relation to one another. If you don't put that file against that blade, it's never going to get sharpened. It has to be in relation to one another. The sword has to be present in contact with the other sword in order for it to be sharpened. So it is with us. You can't truly sharpen another person if you aren't together. Right? You have to be in contact with each other, in relationship with one another. That's why we want these small groups. We need to be in relationship with one another. Amen? A lot of people don't want to, you know, they don't want a fellowship. They want to go to church, go home, and then come back to church and go back home. That's why we want to do small groups. We want to be in relationship with one another. The Bible calls this fellowship. When we can truly sharpen another, if you aren't together in contact with each other, it has to be in relationship. So that we call fellowship. Communing with one another. Coming alongside each other. We need each other. Amen? It is essential, folks, for us and others in the sharpening process. We have to influence. Iron sharpens iron as it is in contact. The process of contact influences each other and can sharpen the piece of iron. So in order to really sharpen and not damage, ruin or make dull, the influence has to be done right. That's how it is with us. We have to do things right. We sharpen one another by how? Influencing each other. But it's also important, folks, to influence one another in the right way. Okay? Understand, people always looking to you and watching you, and they're learning from you. So we have to do things in the right way. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Okay, we have to be careful who we hang around. That's why the Bible calls each of us to teach. It calls us to encourage, set an example, explain, exhort, urge, spur each other on toward love and good deeds. And you go on and on and on. The Bible also teaches us to be careful in words that we use, the example that we set. And what we are influencing toward each other. It's so important, amen, that we are trying to be that example. Amen? When we are at work, how are we acting? Are we setting an example? Are we helping make that person that you work with or those people that you work with, are you helping make them better? Are they seeing a side of you that people at church don't see? Are you influencing them? Are you sharpening them? What about your neighbors? Do they hear the dishes flying? Do they see the cat go flying halfway across the backyard? Are you influencing them in a good way? Your family members. At Thanksgiving or Christmas, whenever you're around, do they dread to see you come? You see, we have to be careful. We have to help set an example, encourage, to explain, exhort, urge, spur everybody toward love and good deeds. So that's why the Bible teaches us to be careful in the words that we use, in the example that we set, and what we are influencing other people. You see, the process of sharpening one another involves intention. In relationship, intention. Intention in influence. One thing for certain is that you can't sharpen one another by being indifferent. Right? You can't sharpen one another by being independent. You can't sharpen one another by being incognito. We must fellowship together. We must be intentional. in relationship, intentional in influencing. See, we learn some models for sharpening the lives of others. The example of iron sharpening iron is, it is one example, but the scripture also demonstrates for us the process of sharpening each other. When you read Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 7, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." But this Proverbs themselves are an example of fathering, influencing, sharpening his children in life. So we are to influence our children in the right way. Teach them the things of God. Show them that living for God is the most important thing that they can do. All other things are secondary. The number one thing you need to do, son, the number one thing you need to do, daughter, is live for God. Please God. Come on. So the Proverbs themselves are that example. Friend to friend. When you read the Bible about David and Jonathan, what a beautiful friendship. When you hear of Philip and Nathaniel. And also when you see that Jesus wants to be a friend also. He became that friend to Zacchaeus. Amen? Older men must be friendly to younger men. In 1 Timothy 5:1, it says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers." Titus 2, verse 6 says, "Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled." Older women with younger women. Titus 2, 3 through 5, "Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others to be or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good." These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. You see, we have to show others how God expects us to live. Are you making people around you better? Or are they learning your bad habits? Teachers and students, in Matthew 28, verse 20, "and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, "In everything," this is good, "set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned." Brothers and sisters, when we talk about each other here, brothers and sisters in Christ with other brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what that means? When you have brothers and sisters in Christ with other brothers and sisters in Christ, that means fellowship. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to act of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "So encourage each other and build each other up." So just as you tried to cut something with a dull knife or with a dull pair of scissors, you find it's very frustrating. You sharpen the instrument and think to yourself, "Wow, why didn't I do that earlier? Wish I'd have done that a long time ago. I've been fussing with these scissors or this knife. Why didn't I do it earlier?" Well, that is how it is when we experience sharpening by those who invest themselves in our lives. It is the joy that we experience when we invest our lives to sharpen another in growth. When you grow, it become more useful. more capable and ready for life physically, with wisdom, socially, spiritually. Why didn't I do this a long time ago? You hear that sometimes when somebody has spent a lifetime and toward the end of their life, they find out that living for God is a great way to live. Why? I wish I'd have done it sooner. And there's so many things in life, folks, if we could just sometimes put our pride aside and say, you know, my brother told me this, he must really love me. You know, when you have to tell people some things, sometimes that's not easy to do. Amen? But you do it because you care. You do it because you love them. So as we learn what it means to be sharpened, the process of being sharpened in tension, in relationship, and influence. And the models for sharpening, I think Paul summed it up best when he said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Let me tell you something. It's not easy when you pour yourself into people sometimes and they reject you and they reject God and walk away. And so many times I have seen Christians get discouraged with that, and therefore they protect themselves. They build this wall. This is as far as you can come right here. But folks, that ain't what God intends for us to do. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, hath loved this present world. Did it stop Paul from doing what he's supposed to do? He went on about his business. And as we consider this truth, the principle of living wise, ask yourself these questions tonight. Who sharpens you? Who sharpens you? Who do you allow to speak into your life? You get mad when somebody tries to tell you something? Who do you allow to sharpen you? Now, I know we have to be careful when we allow only certain people to speak into our life. But, folks, if somebody comes to you, a brother or sister in the Lord, and they have something they need to tell you, you need to take it to heart. Don't just dismiss it. Take it to prayer. Take it to the Word of God. If it lines up with it, then chew it up. Amen? Number two, who are you intentionally sharpening? Who are you trying to help be a better person, a better Christian? Who are you intentionally sharpening? And number three, what are you being sharpened or influenced for life and eternal? What are you being sharpened or influenced for life and your spiritual life? How are you sharpening or influencing others to be ready for life and your spiritual eternal life? These are things that we need to look into and consider in our walks with God. Who are you? Who sharpens you? Who are you helping? Who do you allow to speak into you? Let's stand here tonight. Folks, I believe this step in doing small groups in our church is going to be a true blessing to Church of Pentecost, more than you can imagine. It's going to help bring unity. But we have to be willing to put things aside and say, I have to be somebody that can be an intentional help to somebody else, as well as allowing people to help me, to sharpen me. Amen? And we have to understand, you need to be wise. You need to be in prayer and these kind of things to make sure that you are the right influence on people. You have to be a good influence. Okay? We have to be careful how. We don't want to take each other down. We want to help build each other up. Is what I'm doing Does it line up with the Word of God? Is what I'm saying to somebody, is it really helpful to them, or is it hurtful to them, or is it hurtful to somebody else? We have to be careful. So I want these things. I want the small groups in our church. But at the same time, I'm going to be watching. And tonight, I'm encouraging us to help sharpen others and to allow others to sharpen us in a way that is pleasing to God, in a way that brings about unity in the church. We're not doing this to be over here all whispering and stuff and get everybody all mad at each other. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it to grow. We're doing it to where people can feel safe at bringing their coworkers from work into this group where they can be blessed and not walk away and say, I can't believe my ears, the things I heard. Come on. Who are you sharpening? Who are you allowing to sharpen you? Amen? Amen. So I wanted to teach this tonight in reference to our small groups, amen, and understand and why it is so important that we do this and we cooperate, amen? We be a part of this, amen? Be faithful to these groups, and we'll see great things, amen? And I'm telling you what, I believe that some of us are going to see family members and friends that have come, amen, and be a part of these small groups and be a part of this church before you even know it, amen? And you might have been working on them for years. Amen? If we do it the right way. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, God. And I thank you, God, for your word. I just pray that you just bless each one here tonight. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the name of Jesus.